Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome to the Inside China Basin Baseball Podcast on the sportsvirus.com, featuring players like all-star catcher Buster Posey.
It's about, you know, just going out and trying to have passion for the game that I've loved since I was a kid.
And Ray Woodson is our regular guest, too.
A lot of ifs, but after a disastrous 2017, the Giants were not going to rebuild. They're at least trying to compete, while many teams in the majors are tanking.
Inside China Basin is brought to you by TPC Harding Park, the only public golf course in San Francisco offering golfers the opportunity to play where the pros play. We're also brought to you by Houseboats.com, your home for houseboat rentals on Shasta Lake. Coming up from AT&T Park in San Francisco, we've got a couple of guests, Chris Stratton from the San Francisco Giants, also Scott Osler from the San Francisco Chronicle, and we'll hear from Giants manager Bruce Bochy discussing the Giants situation with the Marlins and the hit-by-pitches that occurred on Tuesday. But first, I want to tell you about my favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. As I was thumbing through Golf Digest, I found that TPC Harding Park is recognized as one of the best places to play in America. And that didn't surprise me too much because I love the majestic layout and beautiful amenities. My San Francisco resident card gives me a great rate at TPC Harding Park, and I get to play where PGA Tour icons Jack Nicklaus, Phil Mickelson, and Tiger Woods have played. Now, if I can only score like them, okay, I'll stop dreaming and get to our guest. Chris, first of all, congrats on the win the other day. 8 wins at this point in the season. How pleased are you with the overall production that you've had?
Been good so far. The offense has definitely helped me out on a few of them for sure. Just, you know, anything I can do to help this team win is big, especially at this point in the season. We need to start getting on a little bit of a roll here.
You know, you were on a roll at the beginning of the year. Then you had some tough times. Did you feel like you had to make some adjustments along the way? What were the trials and tribulations that you experienced?
Definitely. You know, it's not saying it's easier early on, but it definitely wasn't. It was really hard to get through some of those that month there. It was, you know, I feel like every inning I was throwing was a grind. So I just think just trying to adjust, and, you know, this is what baseball is all about, is a game of adjustment. So just kind of looking at film and seeing what, you know, the other guys were trying to do to me and, you know, what they were making an adjustment on, and I, you know, in turn tried to make my adjustment.
You mentioned the offense getting runs for you. How does that affect you early in the game if you get 2 or 3 runs versus pitching in a nothing-nothing game as you go to the 4th or 5th inning?
Yeah, it just gives you a little confidence, you know, a little cushion there just to, you know, go out there and attack them and, you know, just let your defense work. We got one of the best defenses in the league and you know, just let them do their thing more or less.
You know, when you had the baby there, that had to be interesting for you. You're flying across the country and everything. Do you feel like you got settled down after all that went by? And how much fun is it, you know, being a dad now?
Oh, it's the best. I've already got a two-year-old son. So that's my just had the daughter. So, you know, just watching them interact with each other. And he's probably a little bit too on top of her, just smothering her with love. But it's all good. And no, I just love being a dad, and I just appreciate all the support of my wife and them being out here with me.
That's great that they're out here with you. Let's talk about the team a little bit because you guys have had ups and downs. I mean, it seems like, you know, you go on the road. When you guys swept Atlanta, it seemed like a real high, and then all of a sudden you go to Philly, lose 4 in a row. And the same thing on this last road trip where you go to Washington. You win 2 out of 3, and it seems like things are great. And then all of a sudden the Marlins kind of take a bite out of you, and it was a long road trip. So how do you guys react to those situations, sort of the ups and downs that you guys have had?
This is a veteran-led group, so I just think it's one of those parts of baseball. You just kind of have to not ever get too high, not ever get too low, and just you know, just try to stay each game and just compete in each game. You know, it's always disappointing when you think you should win a game and, you know, you don't pull it out. But I just think overall this season we've done a good job of staying right there. We're right in the hunt, you know, within our division. So we just got to continue to make a push while we're at home for this long homestand.
Even though it is a veteran team, you do have some of the younger guys helping you. And Derek Rodriguez is really throwing the ball well. What's maybe some of the advice that you would give him, the young guy coming up, and, you know, he's already doing so well?
Just to have confidence out there and just go and attack everybody. But that's something that he hasn't lacked since he's been here is, you know, just going after people. And, you know, he's a confident guy out there, and he knows his stuff plays. So there's not really a whole lot you can say to a guy that's going like that.
seems like part of the confidence is that he's able to throw his breaking ball, his changeup for strikes. Same thing with you. I mean, the curveball has always been important to you, I know. But having the confidence to throw that, even when you're behind in the count, how does that come along in your career?
What's amazing for him is he hasn't been pitching that long. So just the fact that he's going out there and doing what he's doing has been pretty amazing so far. But, you know, I just don't think it's an accident what he's doing right now. I think that, you know, him being able to mix it and, like you're saying, throw any pitches for strikes at any time has really helped him get deep into games. And, like I said, you know, just really happy for him, proud for him, and hopefully he continues to step it up like he has.
How do you relate what you've got going on in the bullpen and even side sessions compared to what you have going on in a game as far as the feel for your breaking ball and everything? Does it translate, you know, especially before the game, as to what you're going to have, or do you find out in that first or second inning what you really have?
I think more or less in the first or second inning you find out what you have. You know, in the bullpen you kind of have, you know, an idea of what you got for the day, but, you know, sometimes the mounds aren't even the same, you know, from the side all the way into the game, so... it's just one of those things that you got to figure out what you got that day and, you know, and roll with that. But that's why it also helps to have, you know, four pitches to work with. So
how does the preparation change too? I mean, you've already faced the Dodgers a few times. It seems like you really know that lineup very well. But if you're going to go against a team that you haven't faced, is it more going over the scouting report video more so than when you've already faced them and you know what it was like in person?
Yeah, I like to look at video if I haven't seen the guys before. But if it's a, you know, a team like the Dodgers, who I've seen quite a bit, you know, I just kind of rely on what I've done in the past, and, you know, mentally just what I remember, how their swings are, and, you know, what their approach is. But you know, video is a great thing, and it's good to use it, but, you know, try not to overload with it.
Obviously, the big talk, even nationally, is about what happened in the game against the Marlins on Tuesday. So tell us, I mean, what to you is acceptable and unacceptable as far as when a player celebrates a little bit after he gets a base hit? Or, you know, if he's mad about getting hit by a pitch, how much do you take it to heart or look at it if a player is doing something that maybe is showing you up as the pitcher?
I just think it's baseball. I just think it's a bunch of guys out there competing, trying to, you know, trying to win for their team. You know, sometimes emotions get high, and that's what makes this game fun, is when, you know, people are, you know, going at each other and just, you know, having that competitive spirit. So, like I said, I just think it's baseball, and I just like it when people compete.
I mean, there have to be times when a manager or even the team expects you to, you know, drill somebody. What's your reaction to it? I don't know if you've ever had to do it. You don't even have to tell us if you did. But just your reaction to the fact that a pitcher sometimes is asked to drill a guy to make a statement.
Like I said, I think it's just baseball. I think that it's, you know, just kind of a game within the game. And I think you got to – the best way to say it, I just think it's just baseball.
Yeah. No, I can understand from your standpoint and then everything that goes on with that. Tell us a little bit about, you know, the emotions of what happened here, because Hunter Strickland, you know, he hurts himself. He, you know, he was fired up about what happened, and then he hurts himself. So as a team, I mean, how do you guys look at that? How do you support him in a situation like that?
I always support him, you know. He's out there competing for us, you know, doing his best. He didn't get the job done that night, and he's been so good this year. And you know, just had that one little slip up in the moment, and, you know, he wasn't, I don't think he was mad at anybody except himself, just for, you know, not coming through. And you know, it's unfortunate how it happened, but support him for sure. Hopefully he's pretty speedy coming back, because we need him this year.
Well, it's such an intense competition. When you're done with a game, if you're not happy with the way you performed, how do you handle it? How do you let it go? How do you even sleep at night if it wasn't a great performance?
So that's a good question. Sometimes it's one of those that, you know, maybe it takes a day or two, but I like to say, you know, I've got a wife and kids to go home to, so you know, at the end of the day, you know, I need to be a dad and a husband after. So when I leave the locker room, I like to think that it's done, and then, you know, the next day, if we need to evaluate, look at some video and kind of see what we need to adjust, then we will. But more or less, when I leave the field, it's over with.
All right, the last thing, your alma mater, Mississippi State. They are in the College World Series. They're sort of in the driver's seat now. I mean, it really looks good for them. How much are you following it? And, I mean, the College World Series has to be a great experience for those kids.
Oh, without a doubt. I've been following them every game. You know, everybody around here is asking, say, hey, did they win? You know, they win today. So, yeah, I mean, 2-0 so far. Hopefully they continue to, you know, on the hot streak right here. But, yeah, you know, Mississippi State deserves a national championship, so hopefully they can bring one home.
pretty amazing how good these kids are, too. I mean, I'm watching Florida. They got a guy throwing 98 miles an hour fastball, changeup at 85. I mean, college baseball has really grown, hasn't it?
Yeah, without a doubt. I think that SEC is a great conference, and I think that they've developed a lot of power arms. So I just think them going through that whole schedule, the gauntlet of the SEC, has really helped prepare them for the postseason here.
All right, Chris, hey, thanks a lot for the time. Really appreciate it, and good luck.
Yeah, thank you.
That's Giants right-hander Chris Stratton. Well, a lot of talk about the situation that occurred on Tuesday where the Giants hit Brinson and the Marlins hit Posey, and a little bit of retribution there. And what might happen on Wednesday, players celebrating too after they get a base hit, which really kind of upsets the pitchers. And I had a chance to talk to Giants manager Bruce Bochy about where you draw the line as far as celebrating as a hitter and what that does as far as pitchers being upset.
What are your thoughts about drawing the line as far as a player celebrating after he gets a big hit or getting angry, the emotions that are involved, and your pitchers sort of paying attention to that, you know, what happened there with Brinson?
I don't know where you draw that line. I don't. I mean, that line's moved quite a bit over the years, and, you know, it's, in today's game, there's going to be a lot more celebrating, which is fine. You know, hey, guys going to, you know, show their passion. You get it, but you know, you start yelling and cursing, that's going to tick off some people. And so I don't know if that line has a distinct place, but it's different for everybody, probably every pitcher.
Bruce Bochy was also asked about Hunter Strickland and the injury the other day to his pitching hand.
It wasn't on the field this time. It was off the field. It was self-induced. And but, you know, part of this game is controlling your emotions. I've talked about that a lot. You know, your best players have that emotional control that you need, especially in tight situations. That's why they're better players. That's performing under pressure. And which he has, but same time, he, you know, we all have a different, I guess, way of letting it go when it's over. Some guys are yellers, screamers, some kick stuff. Fortunately, he decided to hit something with his hand. I mean, I had a pitcher, I said, Kevin Brown, that remodeled bathrooms. That was his deal by the clubhouse. And you couldn't stop him. That's what made him good, too. But I don't know what park in the National League that he didn't remodel.
Bochy went on to talk about Strickland and his fiery nature.
That's what makes him good, too, the intensity that he plays with. You know, it's funny how some players, you know, they're better with the calmness about them. But, well, I mean, one of the best players ever in the game. I mean, Barry Bonds, he'll tell you, he played better when he was angry. That's how he thought he was at his best. So, you know, at times I do think you got to play ticked off. But, again, there's a fine line where you, how far you go with that, to where you're not controlling those emotions.
That's Giants manager Bruce Bochy. Coming up, we'll hear from Scott Ostler from the San Francisco Chronicle right after this.
If you're thinking about a fun vacation, how about renting a houseboat on beautiful Shasta Lake? That's right, just go to houseboats.com, where they offer houseboat vacations on Shasta Lake. They also rent cabins as well as wakeboard, day cruising, fishing, pontoon, and party boats. Food and beverage service, fueling, brand name clothing, souvenirs, and a grocery store are all available at their modern marinas. Jones Valley Resort and Silverthorne Resort are the premier boating destinations on Shasta Lake, and houseboats.com will set you up there. Houseboats.com has the best service, the best boats, and the best locations. Call 877-468-7326 or go to houseboats.com today.
At AT&T Park in San Francisco, I had a chance to talk to San Francisco Chronicle columnist Scott Ostler. Here was that conversation. Scott, a lot of animosity here on Tuesday, the Giants and the Marlins, and there's the after effect of that. I mean, you have, you know, Hunter Strickland, of course, he punched his hand into a wall and broke his finger, so there's that. And then you've got your star player, Buster Posey, getting drilled after you drilled a player on the other team if you're the Giants. So, you know, with all that going on, to me, it kind of seems a little silly in a lot of ways, but it's the old baseball tradition, an eye for an eye. What are your thoughts about all that?
One thing, I hate it. There's that manly thing that, you know, they do something to us, we got to get back at them. And it's a manly thing that if you're a pitcher, yeah, I'm such a tough guy. They always said this about Bob Gibson. He's such a tough guy, he'll hit anybody. How much courage does it take if you're a big, strong guy to throw a baseball at somebody? That's not like challenging you to a fist fight or something like that. Let's take it out in the alley, Joe. No, just throwing a baseball at somebody, to me, is the definition of a lack of courage or of wimpiness. And so I hate that whole culture deal. But, you know, when somebody hits your guy, what are you going to do? I don't know. Baseball is crazy in that respect. And it'll be interesting today because the other guys are pitching a guy who hits everybody. So he might hit the first three batters. And so this game might not get past the second inning.
Well, it all got started, I think, because Brinson got fired up. You know, Strickland had knocked him down, and then he's swearing at him, and he's getting excited about getting a base hit against him. And as I asked Bruce Bochy about, you know, trying to draw the line, I think it is a difficult line to draw about whether or not a player is celebrating too much. But do you think pitchers are too sensitive sometimes about what a hitter is doing? And, you know, for the Giants, you've got Strickland, and you've also got Madison Bumgarner, who gets a little bit high tension as far as that.
I absolutely, positively, 100% think the pitchers are too sensitive and too way, way old school. This is not the 1920s. Maybe it was cool then, but Madison Bumgarner, I love him as a pitcher. He's a great competitor and all that stuff. But the way he gets mad at a guy who maybe flips his bat a little bit too high, wait, that's above the 6-foot ceiling of bat flipping, you know, whatever the code is. It's silly. It's okay to get mad about it, but then to take it out on him by plunking a guy. And Strickland, the same thing. You know, Strickland's antidote or his answer to everything that bothers him a little bit is to drill somebody. And I just don't think that works on any level. It certainly doesn't help your team. Strickland's put his team in a bad situation before. He put Posey in a bad situation. He plunked a guy, and then Posey's, supposed to go out and defend his guy for doing something stupid? And he got two of his own guys knocked out of a game by starting a fight, and which resulted in the end of a career for Morris and Samardzija getting hurt. It's crazy.
Yeah, that was the Bryce Harper incident last year. You know, I always think you have to put yourself in the shoes of the hitter, too. If I'm Brinson and I almost got hit, of course I'm going to be fired up if I get a base hit against that guy. And one of the reasons why I thought about it from both sides last night is I'm looking at Alan Hansen. Now, he didn't get brushed back, but when he gets hits, he's all excited. He's pumped up. Nobody's throwing at him. You know, it's like you should be allowed to express yourself, I would think.
Well, baseball is still kind of in the dark ages on that stuff. And I think in some sports, you know, it's crazy. I think in football, for instance, some of the celebration is a little bit too much for me, because I like to see guys embrace their team, and instead guys run for the stands and it's all about me and stuff. So, but it's an emotional sport, and I think it's okay if guys celebrate. I think it's okay if they flip their bats. I think it's okay if they punch their fist in the air when they strike a guy out, like Eckersley used to do and stuff like that. I think that stuff is fine. I think baseball should not be so old school and thin-skinned about that stuff, and guys are going to be emotional. And if a guy is too much of a jackass, he flips his bat too high, then the guys on his own team should police that, you know, and talk to him about it. But basically, let guys do what they want. And if you don't like a guy flipping a bat, then strike him out next time.
One of the things that really, to me, was disturbing last night, I understood why Don Mattingly was upset, because why are you warning both teams after the Giants drilled Brinson? You know, now, as far as I'm concerned, you look at the Marlins, they can't pitch inside the rest of the game. And, yeah, they did drill Posey on purpose. There's no doubt just watching that. But at the same time, I don't understand the whole warning system.
Yeah, and I don't think anybody understands it, because the umpires don't understand it. It changes from situation to situation. So there's no fixing that. You know, maybe the answer is I know we have too many panels and too many reviews and stuff like that, but maybe a review after the game of competent people who could see, for instance, that, okay, obviously you guys threw a buster. Your guy's going to be suspended. Something like that. But because, like Bochy was saying, you can't always tell the intent, but there are a lot of times when you absolutely can.
So there's something that baseball needs to look at, but baseball seems to really be focused more on speeding up games. I mean, that seems to be the obsession right now. Do you agree with that at all? Are there aspects of it that you would like to see sped up, or are you okay, you know, cool with the game kind of the way it is?
I would absolutely like to see it sped up. Not that I'm trying to get out of work earlier, but, you know, I just the games keep getting longer and longer, and if nothing is done, they will continue to keep getting longer and longer, because a hitter that now steps out and readjusts his gloves and stuff like that, sooner or later, that stuff doesn't stop. Sooner or later, he'll be taking a timeout, going over to get a drink of Gatorade in between swings and stuff like that. That's kind of an exaggeration, but every sport, golf, basketball, I can show you instances with free throws. If you let a guy take whatever time he wants to take, he'll take it. So gradually, if it's unenforced, the games will just stretch out longer and longer. I don't think you need to step out of a box every time between pitches. I don't think you need to readjust your glove every time between pitches. I don't think pitchers need to do the walk around. I don't think it has to be anything radical, but I think something should be done to speed the game up a little bit, because it's going too far in the other way. And, you know, fans my age, I'm an old guy, okay, we'll sit through a four-hour game, three-and-a-half-hour game, but you don't want to just turn off an entire generation of young fans either, who are more tuned to a little quicker pace.
I can understand that. I'm just not sure about the changes they made, you know, the mound visits and the intentional walk, whether that really made the impact, as opposed to what you just said, you know, getting in out of the batter's box, you know, that to me takes up a lot more time, or a pitcher kind of taking a long time to deliver. So maybe there needs to be a clock and enforcement as far as that's concerned.
Yeah, I agree. I think that the things about the mound visit and the intentional walk thing, I think they did those because they were afraid to address it head on and go right at the player and say, you got to change your habits. Because the players would cry and they'd whine for a while. Then they would change their habits. It's not a big deal. But, I think it can be – I definitely would be in favor of a pitch clock.
I mean, I think it could work. All right, how about this Giants team? You know, when Bumgarner was out at the beginning of the year and other injuries, of course, Cueto being out and Samardzija. I mean, there's been a ton now. Longoria goes down. When you see all of that, I guess you could look at it and say, wow, I mean, this team's pretty close to 500. They've done a good job. But at the same time, it seems like there have been opportunities to capitalize where they didn't. I mean, you start out some road trips really well, sweeping Atlanta, and then it goes in the tank. You win 2 out of 3 at Washington, and then all of a sudden you can't beat the Marlins of all teams. So how do you evaluate the way it's gone so far?
Kind of shaky. There was a point about a quarter of the way into the season where it looked like, man, this team's got some spirit. They got an X factor that they didn't have last year. You know, they're able to dig out wins and stuff like that. And then they kind of regressed. So I think they have to make a couple moves, some significant moves in the next next week or so probably. You know, maybe think about bringing one or two of the guys up from the minor leagues that are doing really well. Duggar and Slater maybe. They need youth. They need some fresh stuff. You know, I don't think they can stay right where they are right now and expect to do anything.
I guess it's proven too. I mean, when you bring up an Alan Hansen because of injury, and there's a guy who's been sort of a journeyman player, and he's having a breakout year at AAA, look at the life that he's injected into this team. I mean, this kid, you know, he's definitely a guy who has power. He's got speed and something that the Giants have been looking for.
Yeah, speed and youth are good things. And I think he got lucky with Hansen because everyone assumed that he's a journeyman. We know how good he's going to be, but he's kind of different. I don't know his entire story, but he kind of went through some stuff, and maybe he is a lot better than he used to. Maybe he's the real deal now. Maybe he's a legitimate, pretty darn good major league player with some speed. So I think they got lucky in that. But they do have a couple guys in the minors I think they're going to have to take a look at bringing up soon.
Some of the old standbys, too, have done well. I mean, Pablo Sandoval, that kind of came out of nowhere. But Brandon Belt and Brandon Crawford, neither one was as impactful last year as they are this year. What have you seen from those guys?
Well, Bochy was just talking about Belt, and I thought that was interesting. He said that Belt has gotten more intense emotionally or whatever you want to call it in the last couple of years, and I think that's good. You know, every guy has a temperament that works for him, but he apparently is reaching a new level this year, Belt is, you know, and I think that's very encouraging because it's been for a few years, it's been, okay, he's never going to be quite what we want him to be. Well, maybe he is, you know, and with Crawford, maybe he's becoming the hitter that he's always kind of been on the verge of. So these are two guys that if what we're seeing now is legit, that's a significant thing for the next few years at least.
Last thing. I mean, I don't think you can win this division and get to the playoffs unless the starting pitching is really straightened out. And it's going to be interesting because you've got guys coming back like Cueto and Samardzija. And I know Cueto was great before he got hurt. Samardzija wasn't. So, I mean, to me, it all kind of hinges on that. You've got some young guys that have filled in, but I think the whole season hinges on those two guys. What do you think?
Oh, yeah, I'm with you on that. And I don't have a lot of hope for Samardzija. The weird thing about him is he hasn't really lost any speed on his fastball or much, you know. And so you would figure if a veteran guy has the same speed, he's going to be effective, but it's just not working that way. He's just, you know, for a while he was a good inning-eating guy, but that hasn't been the case. So he's iffy, but Cueto, they definitely got to have some big they got to get Johnny Cueto that we saw the first half of the season. They got to get him back. If they do, it's going to be huge, just in not only in terms of wins and losses and stuff, but the spirit that he brings.
Scott, thanks a lot for the time. Really appreciate it. Enjoy the day here at AT&T Park.
All right, Joe. Thanks, man.
That's Scott Hostler from the San Francisco Chronicle. I want to thank him, as well as Bruce Bochy and Chris Stratton, for joining us from AT&T Park in San Francisco. Join us again later on this week. We'll hear from Ray Woodson. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening to Inside China Basin on thesportsvirus.com.